And also for the beginning, you asked some questions. Are we ready? Have we done enough? Well, I think from a spiritual point of view, nobody can say they did not enough. Right?
But that's why we're here. And that's why every day that God gives us a chance to wake up, we make a new start. And we say, before the night comes, that it could be my last, I have to be better than yesterday. Or at least, not to annoy anyone, if possible. This is, it starts from fear, but it ends up being an understanding of why we're here and a preparation.
So does death exist?
In which way? What do you mean?
Does it exist?
Death. Biological death exists.
Sure. Yeah, but we're not fearing the death of
hell.
What are we fearing?
This biological death. Because we don't know what happens after. What are we fearing? I don't understand.
Death is hell, isn't it?
No. Death is when you stop breathing, when your heart stops beating, your brain stops. It's not hell. Hell is condemnation.
But we don't die for Christians. What I mean is, we never just pass to the next.
Yes, that's what the gospel says. The one who believes in me will go through death to life. But it is a biological death.
Okay, some fathers say that doesn't exist. That's why.
It doesn't exist in a spiritual way. But in a material way, it does exist. The same way that Jesus died for 3 days. We celebrate his 3 days in. Well, not we celebrate, we have services for this. 3 days that he was, 33 hours that he was in. Yes. He died. The body died, the soul didn't die. Because he wanted to share with someone other than himself everything that he was, like all this joy and happiness and everything. And that's why he created us. Then Adam and Eve, they failed. So there had to be an end to this life so that their actions would not be eternal, because they started being bad. And so God created us to make us gods by grace. And through death, that's what happens. So we were born, we try our best to become good Christians for ourselves, and then when we pass away, we go back to God, and the joy and the happiness and everything that we will receive there, it's not compared with all the difficulties that we have during this life, and this is the real life after death, the eternal life.
Does anyone have anyone?
Yes, these are things and details that no one can say for sure, but there are fathers of the church that they say that there will be a different understanding of things there. So you will not be looking to find your husband and your wife, because the center of everything is God. And through God, you might see them, but it doesn't matter. It's not like you will be married there. Of course, he was your husband and he will be your husband forever, but and the church joined you into one. But what matters there is the eternity and the the feelings that God will give you, give and fill up your soul, that's what matters then. When we die?
Yeah, and so you don't remember like your earthly life, you know, the things that you did like
the saints, they had a certain way of living down here on earth. And we will talk about the saints because that's what we mostly know about. So let's say Saint Nicholas, for example. He was helping the ones that they were they had trouble in the sea. So this is something associated with his life. He had so much love when he was alive that he kept it after he passed away, and he's helping the ones that he was associated with while he was on earth. Saint Pantaleimon, he was a doctor. So after he went to God, after he passed away, he's helping the ones that they suffer from illnesses. This is an association. So the saints, they were aware where they were from. Does this make any sense?
Yeah, but if you're not a saint...
It's the same. If you're close to God, you have the same Holy Spirit. It's just different levels of having the Holy Spirit, but still, you understand things through God.
You know when people say, like, they will say, if you've lost a parent or something, they'll say it to me, oh, you're going to take you. But I don't believe that. Like, is that, like, because I'm going to try and get away from the life sales and the feel good stuff.
Yes. But if, let's say, you had an elder, and he was a very spiritual person, a holy man. If he passes away, he's always close to you once you pray to him. Like we met Saint Paisio, we met him, literally. I met him, the Santa Caramanovi met him. There were people that met him. He lived. So if we pray to him, we know that he knows us. He will help us. It's the same with your dad, with my grandmother. If there were people that they were close to God, if you pray to them, they can even help you. So, but they know you. Because they're close to God.
They don't know like my kids now. And
they know everything. The body dies, it decomposes, but then on the second coming of the Lord, we will receive it back in a spiritual way, in a spiritual form, that we don't know exactly how it will be, but it will be like when Jesus was resurrected. He had his body, they saw him, they touched him, but this body could go through walls. So it's a different form of body. It's maybe like how the angels are. That they can go through walls. We can't tell details because we don't know details, but everything will be revealed after death. And it's not just the body and the soul. It's also the breath of God, which is the Holy Spirit, which is within us. So the body, sometimes we see that we have the holy relics and they give a nice aroma, or they give myrrh. This is because the Holy Spirit stayed in there. So the Holy Spirit sanctifies our bodies, if we are holy, but also our souls. And the souls of the saints that they're up there, they don't have their body, but they can perform miracles. That's their souls through the Holy Spirit, which it was in them and stayed in them.
So we're much more than just our body?
Of course. Mm. Of course.
And one part of what I think I was saying,
that's correct.
His father,
yes.
Because the
Vince
might want to come and help his family.
Yes.
Send letters. So
yes.
That sort of that shows that there is a lot more in the other life that we don't really realize, and that everything we meet here gets transferred through our soul, correct?
Yes.
But what if you have, if you can see your mom, so you, the mother can see us and you can see our shoes and everything, wouldn't you find that interesting?
They are allowed to know what God allows them to know. So if God, maybe we don't know exactly how much they know, but they do know things. But only what God allows them to know.
See, I thought they were just sleeping. Where are you going? Just sleeping.
No, it's not sleeping.
Okay.
And we even have situations like Panagia and St. John the Theologian, their bodies, they ascended straight away. They didn't found a body of St. John the Theologian or of Panagia. And there are a few saints as well, other saints as well.
And you know when we go to, I've always wanted to ask this, and it's either a great tradition, but when you go to the lake and you see, and then you have to throw water, or the wheels, does anyone know this? Like you throw the water shoulder or salt?
Superstitious.
Are they all superstitious?
Yes. Don't worry about this. Whatever is not done from a priest with prayers from the church, don't worry about it.
We're all strong Christians, but what happens to those people that do not believe in God and worse still reject all God? When they die, what happens to their souls and bodies? Do they have an afterlife? I mean, the Catholics talk about purgatory. What does the Orthodox Church see?
First of all, we don't know how God will judge people. This is God's job, it's not our job. And that's why they asked once Saint Paisio, they asked him, because Saint Paisio, for a while he was in Mount Sinai, and he was in touch with the Bedouins every day, on a daily basis. Whoever went to Mount Sinai, you can't avoid them. They're like, they're coming, their kids are coming around you and they're asking for lollies. So you can't miss them. The Bedouins, they're very simple people, extremely simple, not in a way that they don't understand, in a way their life is very simple and they're not complicated, and they're Muslims, so they're not even Christians. And they asked Saint Paisio if we can talk about the salvation of the Bedouins, because they're not even Christians. And Saint Paisio said, of course, we can talk even for the salvation of the Bedouins. We don't know how God judges. And it's not up to us to say, I might be Orthodox, and a Bedouin in heaven might be above me. Not being Orthodox means having more responsibility. I received a lot, and I have to be accounted for a lot. So if I haven't done my job properly, I'm in worse position than someone who never had the chance of hearing about Christ. There is a reason because there is a reason why they never heard about Christ. It's not like God created circumstances that we will be benefited to know about Christ and the other ones that were mistreated. The reason is because these people, maybe they could not handle knowing more, but they were given a conscience and they will be judged according to their conscience. We can't say that someone who's not baptized will become a saint, but we can say that someone who's not baptized will become a saint, but we can definitely say that someone who's not baptized might be saved, and I might not. I don't know if this answers the question.
I was after more in-depth of
like
those people that actually physically reject Christ and God.
The ones that they reject God can't help them. So what happens is, I was reading this a few days ago, if you have someone who rejects God, even after death, because after death he doesn't change, that's what he was, he doesn't change after death, even after death he will still be rejecting God. So if God was to put him in heaven, it's like not respecting his freedom. This person doesn't want to be in heaven, so he can't be in heaven, because he rejects God and he doesn't want God. And God respects his freedom and will put him away from his presence, which is not heaven. That's not something that God chooses for us, that's something that we choose for ourselves. Does it answer your question now?
I think so.
Yes. All right. I hope this was not too bad, like made anybody sad, because now we'll go to a story. So, once there was a handsome sailor in the island of Chios. He fell in love with a beautiful young lady, and they wanted to get married and start a family. They got engaged, and he had to go on a trip as a sailor. As soon as he was to return, they would get married. While he was away, a disease fell on the island. That's a true story. People were dying. His fiancée got sick, and she died. He didn't know he was away. They didn't have a way of informing him back then. He returned to Chios. He ran to her house. He was told what happened, and he just couldn't believe it. His whole world collapsed around him, and his brain went blank. He started running to the cemetery where she was buried. His pain was unbearable. He didn't want his life anymore. He just wanted to see her for the last time to say goodbye. He had so much to tell her. Before realizing it, he started digging her out from the tomb. After a huge effort, he found her coffin. He was now going to kiss her goodbye and tell her for the last time how much he loved her. He opened it up to see her beautiful face, but when he opened it, instead of her smiling young face, he saw a halfway decomposed skull and worms going in and out from the nostrils, the eye holes, and the cheeks' flesh. His brain could not comprehend what was in front of him. He started running again. He ended up in a monastery. He became a monk, and not only he prayed for her soul and saved his own, but he also became a saint. It's Saint Parthenius of Chios, and you can find his life and read it if you want more details. That's a true story. So this is what life is, and we can't change this. We just have to accept it. That's how it is. In this story, it's not depressing, it's just the reality. This is the reality. And the sooner we realize and we digest the reality, the healthier we will be spiritually. Now, someone might ask, how can we prepare ourselves for the last day of our lives? How can we prepare ourselves for our departure from earth? I will tell you another story. So there were two women, and they were both bearing child. Now, the one was very well educated, very smart, and the other one was just a girl from a village. She never studied anything. They told them that if they want to give birth without pain, they have to learn this technique. This technique includes breathing. I don't know what else it includes, but they have to practice it on a daily basis. Otherwise, when the time comes to give birth, they will panic and they will go through a lot of pain if they don't know how to exercise this technique. So the one lady that was very educated and smart thought, I know how this works. She did it a couple of times. She thought, I'm fine. I don't need to practice anymore. I know it by heart. The other one who was more uneducated, but she was hard-working person, but she was not like extremely smart. She thought, I have to keep practicing it just in case something goes wrong until the last minute. So she was practicing it on a daily basis. When the time came and they both went in labor, the first one, the smart one, panicked. She forgot everything. Her brain couldn't function and she went through a lot of pain. The other one, because it became her second nature, she gave birth without any pain. It happened automatically. This is what it is with the memory of death as well. If we don't exercise it on a daily basis, as we were saying before, we might understand it, but if we don't exercise it on a daily basis to say every night before we go to bed, that we will definitely not wake up in the morning and think, what have I done wrong today? If I can't fix it now, first thing in the morning, if God allows me to be alive, I will fix what I did wrong. If we don't think like this, when our death will come, we will be caught by surprise and we will not be able to have happy thoughts because it's not going to work. That's why we need the memory of death, because we don't want to be caught by surprise when we're dying and we want to be ready. And this is how things work. And it's not something to make us sad, but it's something to make us realize that this is something temporary. It doesn't matter how nice we might be with our family and friends and everything, and it doesn't matter how many difficulties we might have. This is temporary. We're here to do our best, help others, move on. That's it. Any more questions?
I believe you have to deal with it all the time, but you can keep thinking that I'm dying tonight. What was with another?
If you're thinking that you're dying tomorrow, you're not going to be less active. You will be more active. Because you don't have much time. So you will be prepared. You will not sit down and just wait. You will not give up.
The faith is always bringing you to that point that you have to be always ready to laugh, but you can't stop doing nothing because...
No one said to stop doing nothing. We say the opposite. Yes.
I have another question. You know the lady that who was in labor and she just breathed a couple of times. She just breathed a couple of times, right? And then the other lady, she just continued doing it. What happens, right? If we have a spiritual father, we do everything, like you're saying, we're well and we do whatever, but what happens, like at the time you wake up, you hear some bad news, it's happened in the whole world's wanted. I think that's the time, how do you put everything into it? How do you not lose the plot at that particular time?
If you get ready on a daily basis, that's in your routine.
That's the precious
thing. Yeah, but you find a lot of people who are very busy first and they have everything and they get there and then they kind of lose the plot to find the plot. I understand that. But some people, obviously, what I'm trying to get at is like, with anything, you might be able to. How do we know? Like, how do we keep the faith? Like, who will keep us in check to make us not so scared? Does that make sense? Like,
you yourself will stop, eventually you will stop being scared yourself.
And you just surrender and just accept it.
Yes. And not only that, eventually if you keep going, you will love it. If this makes any sense, you will love your death. You would love to die. Not because you don't love everybody around you, but because you know what life is all about. Death is not a sad thing. It's not, that's why some fathers of the church, they say that the people that they cry when someone dies, they're not spiritual, as simple as that.
If I get an age, don't miss the person.
Of course you miss. And that's why we said that Jesus was teary in front of Lazarus. But he was not teary because he was missing Lazarus. He was teary because he saw what the human nature ended up being. He gave us everything, and look what we've done. We only did a disaster for ourselves and for everyone. How can people? We said that by thinking of death. And when you think,
you just think of death only.
When you think, this is something to keep things going. It's like a culture that will make this liquid will make it yogurt, and this bread, this flour will make it into bread. So you put this thought into someone's mind, then if he did something wrong, he will go and fix it. Then he will stop sinning. Then he's close to God.
There is people that have an illness where they always think they're going to die. And that alone is destructive for those people. So if a person picks up a habit of only thinking of dying without the support of the spiritual life, that's what I'm saying, that's the spiritual part of the life.
If someone has certain fears, he needs certain support before going to this technique. And sometimes it's not spiritual support, it's psychological support. That's a different story. But we're talking for the average person who tries and wants something to motivate him to sin less and to go closer to God. This can help.
Yeah, I was thinking more like a prayer rule, spiritual father, confession, communion.
Everything.
Yeah, but that kind of explains something. Is that part of the process, or are you thinking of death?
We said that if you're thinking of death, it will help you. If you did something, you will confess it straight away. That's how it works.
So if you're the spiritual father, okay, so then if you don't have a spiritual father, say you didn't live an Orthodox, a Christian life, right?
You were a Christian or not?
You didn't live a Christian life.
Then why would you talk about fear of death? You can't overcome the fear of death without God. There is no way.
No. What about all those people that want to preserve their bodies and put them in like the right place you are? Like their fear.
It's good, but it doesn't work.
No, you don't have to lie. What I'm just trying to say is something. Because if you're in the church, you're pretty mediocre, you have a belief, you go to confession, and you've never been taught that. How does someone at that particular time find out what to do? Because no one talks about death. You talk about, you go out there and talk about death, people will like, well, yeah, you're mad, you are seriously mad. And so I want to know, like other people might want to know, if you were Orthodox, but you were come to church just on Christmas and Easter and wishy-washy, I shouldn't really say that, but you know what I mean.
The memory of death is not something like a magic pill that you give to someone who doesn't believe much and he will start believing much. It doesn't work like that. There is no magic trick in there. What we're trying to say here is that for someone who wants to go closer to God, this can be a very helpful tool. For someone who doesn't believe, talk about death, talk about life, talk about flowers, doesn't make any difference.
Can I just say something maybe? Just something from my personal experience. I'm not sure what I'm saying this, but some time ago I had a lot of headaches, and I had this constant thought in my mind, what happens when I die? Same sort of thing. I don't know where it came from, it's just some random thought. But I couldn't get rid of it. The only way I could get rid of it was actually research. I read, you know, many books and talked to many spiritual fathers and so forth. And in the end, it came down to confession and communion. That was the two things that I narrowed it down to. And then once I narrowed it down to that, it became so much easier to deal with this death. And then when my mum passed away, it was so easy because I saw her confess communion the day before, and I thought, wow,
That was it. Yes. But that's the practice we're talking about. Yes. Yes. You can see amazing things happening around us. There was a monk that we can't judge, and we don't know what this person went through, but he had bankruptcy when he was in the world, and within one night he lost all his hair. This person, if you were to see him in the monastery, you couldn't say that he's the most spiritual monk that you've ever met. He might talk a little bit more than others and this and that, so you could sort of get into the temptation to judge his behavior. But once he said something, he said, when I was in the world, I was like a prince. He had a fashion sort of labor, something. He was going to London and he was doing exhibitions. And he said, from that, I ended up in a monastery, and his job in the monastery was to clean the open areas of the monastery, like with a broom. So he said, I never cleaned anything in my life, and look what I'm doing now. He couldn't comprehend how this happened. He chose his life. It's not like someone forced him to. And people could say he's not the most spiritual monk we've ever seen, but God gave him a cancer and he got ready. He had confession, and right after Holy Communion, he passed away. Now, regardless what happened before in his life, God, I think, he created all this so that he would pass away like an angel. Amazing. It doesn't matter what he ever did. It doesn't matter. Because he was taking away the best time after confession of Holy Communion.
How old?
He was not that old. Adam was 60-something. I don't know. That was years ago. Yes. And, yes.
As your talk said, it's like the negative thought of death, which in a spiritual sense is positive, giving us a form of remembrance of death, to tame us in our thoughts of, to make us feel humble, to bridle our tongue, our thoughts and so on. And it's a gift from God that is achieved with effort of our own and prayer. Did you see that in any of the fathers, that gift within your life, in that knowledge? Or
the memory of death?
Yeah, people have that gift, because all things are a gift. I don't know if that's the right question to ask, or whatever.
Yes.
So I see the positive aspects of the thought of death, of course, to remember death but not to become despondent and to always look forward, but to always, as a means to help us spiritually for the benefit of receiving other gifts,
yes,
humility, love, and forgiveness and so on.
If anything, I can say that we all experienced it through the face of our elder in Mount Athos, because his health was always very fragile and everybody was always worrying about him, and until now they tried to keep him alive. Although physically he should have passed away years ago, and it's not that we don't love him, it's just how it is. He was always talking about that if he passes away, he will be able to help us more because his prayers will be stronger and all these things. But yes, it's yes. So we've seen someone who had it. The problem is not seeing someone who has it. The problem is to imitate it. That's the problem. But yes, and the other thing is that it's not easy to, if someone doesn't have the position in the monastery to talk, you might never find out what his gifts are. Because monks, they will never talk about their spiritual experiences to others. But if it is an elder, that, or if you are an elder, you hear everybody's confession. But if you're an elder as well and you talk to your spiritual children about certain things, they can understand if how you feel about these things. So, for example, my elder, if anything, he always wanted to depart from this life, not because he didn't love everyone around him, but because he loved everyone around him. And he knows that, like Saint Paisios, after passing away, he can help more than while he was bounded on this flesh and bones.
The other thing, sorry, I wanted to ask, you say when you cry, it's not a good thing.
It's sometimes unavoidable because we love people, but we have to understand that this is not the end. This is a beginning. And if they passed away in a good state, this means that that's the best thing that could ever happen to them. It's selfish to want them to stay back.
But do you think that you should look at it like if you have an amazing husband or wife and you really love them, do you should maybe think that that is such a beautiful gift, like put it back, like to thank God for
it? It is a gift, but if your husband is amazing, imagine what eternal life is.
That's true.
It will be way better than your husband, trust me. Yeah, because God created your husband and God created eternal life. If you put them on a scale, I would go with eternal life. Yeah. Don't worry.
Have you noticed in our culture that back when I was in my 20s and my brothers and sisters were getting confirmed, they were like, oh, you get involved. I get to 30 and all those people turn 40 into young, 50 into young. Like, no one wants to, like, everyone wants to stay young, so that when you come up with a sickness or something, no one talks about it, because we're all supposed to be young and go on cruises, and that's not life, and I think that's where that gets mixed up as well, because sometimes you want to approach it.
Yes, a spiritual father was telling to his, like a talk, he was saying to the ladies that they try to hide their age, that if they die, they will be all very young. So it's a good thing. They don't need to hide their age after death. You could read some writings of the fathers of the church about the memory of death, but once you read them, I wouldn't say that you read them on a daily basis. This is an exercise like Nipsi, it's an exercise, vigilance, or Jesus' prayer, it's an exercise. So the same way that we should think on every single minute that God sees what we do, the same way we should think that that's my last day, so at work I better be polite instead of being grumpy, for example. Yes, it's a matter of practice, and the more you practice it, the more you will make it happen, and we all need this practice, including myself.
Practicing Jesus' prayer mostly. is there trying to remember this, remember to remember the death? Is it just the energy?
Yeah, let's say that you get in the good habit of, when you see something that would make you upset, to think, oh, I'm dying tonight, doesn't matter. And then you have to deal with it, of course. You don't just quit, but you deal it in a different way. It's not as important, although you will deal with it carefully and with all your responsibility, but it's not as important as God. It does make a difference. First of all, you will see a lot of saints cry, like the ascetics. You might see icons of ascetics crying. They don't cry because someone died. They cry because they carry their own dead person inside them. So that's a different way of thinking. But the apostles, they were sad on Panagia's tomb, the same way that Jesus was sad on Lazarus' tomb. It's a human thing. But what we're trying to say here is that if someone is a spiritual person, should not feel sad about someone else's or his own departure. I don't know if this makes any sense. What I'm trying to say is that the apostles, there were times that they were arguing amongst themselves who's greater. And at the same time, the apostles, when Jesus was crucified, they all left, except St. John the Theologian and the women. So what I'm trying to tell you here, that is, the apostles, they were human as well. But what we're trying to say is that being human is one thing, and thinking about something the right way is another. So we will cry because we're human, but we have to know that we're not supposed to, because we believe in something greater than death. Does this answer your question?
Yes. But now I'm thinking how practically to help, to support relatives, friends, family, or not, when somebody dies, family, when everybody is tragic, how you understanding this, the meaning about death, how you help?
It's like when you have a son, correct, for everybody, and he's like 16 years old and he goes on drugs. You say, what am I going to tell him? This happened. They say that someone who's a drug addict doesn't become a drug addict on his 16 years of age, but on his 4 years of age. Why? He doesn't take drugs when he's 4 years of age. What I'm trying to tell you is that if you don't give the right
guidance.
Yes, the right. If you don't grow your kids with the right way, don't expect them when they're teenagers to do the right thing. They can't. So if you see that someone passed away and someone is crying, you have to go back and see, was this person who's crying now close to church? If he was close to church, they could understand if you talk to them. If they don't have this mentality, they were not even your kids. Like, you had no say in how they were brought up away from the church. How can you tell them now about Christ and make them stop crying? You can't. Does this make any sense?
It makes sense, but I understand what you're saying, Father, but everybody cries.
Huh?
Everybody cries.
Yes. Yes, but what I'm trying to tell you here is that if you want to tell someone something deep about our faith, he or she has to be ready. And if they haven't prepared themselves all their lives in the church, you can't do it then. It's not a magic pill. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes. And I have the same problem. When people come to me, I can't get them ready within half an hour that we talk. And it's too late. So people they have to be close to church all their lives and with all their hearts to be able to understand what I will tell them. Otherwise it takes time. And there was a spiritual father, he's not in Australia, when people were going to him and they were telling him that they are sick, he was not telling them, don't worry, everything will be fine. He was telling them, get ready. Very bluntly, get ready. You might get well, but you might not. So get ready. That's the truth. Everything else, if you tell this person everything else, it gives false hopes, and it's like a placebo. It does nothing. If someone is very sick, it does nothing.
Can you just touch briefly on the benefits of the whole tradition of our church on when someone passes away, the death of someone, of the kolima, the good works, whether they be philanthropic or spiritual, in the name of the power of the loved ones, that has that benefit for the departed souls?
That's very important, yes.
Because that is also spiritual works for ourselves. That we do on behalf of the father who passed away can't help themselves anymore.
Yes. We believe in the Orthodox Church that the ones that they are still alive, they can help the ones that they have departed until the second coming of the Lord. So I'll give you a very extreme example, which I've said before. In Mount Tabor, there was someone who went there to become a monk, and he went to an elder that was extremely difficult and strict, very, very difficult person. He was under his obedience for 40 years, something, 34 years. After this elder passed away, he was in a very bad spiritual state. His disciple, who was sanctified after all his suffering, and he was a very holy man, realized that his elder was not well, and he started praying for him and crying for him and begging God to help him. And because he was a holy man, he ended up having an information from God that his elder is now in a good place. So basically, he took him from hell and he put him into heaven. That's how strong his prayers were. The church, we give in the church, when someone passes away, we give to the priest the names of the departed people, because we believe that when we pray in the Divine Liturgy for the departed people, God helps them. And we had a number of visions that holy men saw. And in a very, very simple way, like we give the prospero to the church, the bread, and we give the names, the departed and the living ones. Some people were giving prospero for the memory of their departed ones, and then they dreamt that they saw them up there receiving a lot of loaves of bread, which is just a symbol saying that their prayers of the church, they ended up helping these people. So whatever we do for the ones that we've lost can help them while we're still alive, and they can't help themselves anymore. And in this way, like Kyrie Sotiris said, we can also do good acts, like give, let's say, send $100 to Africa for the memory of someone who has passed away. All these things, they do count, and it's things that the people that they passed away could not do anymore, and they definitely help them. And they can be done until, while we're alive, until the end of the age, like until the second coming of the Lord. And that's why we do the Koliva, that's why we do the Mnemosyna, the memorial services, that's why the church prays in every possible way we can. And even the funeral service is the last prayer of the whole church about the soul of this person that is about to depart from amongst us.
Even on the simple of seeing God, even in this much simplest way, for example, someone gives me a bag of oranges, and I'll give it to me and I'll say to me, in the memory of my
person,
I'm giving you this. And it's a bag of oranges, or whatever it is, or a book, or whatever it is. And they give it and they say, especially with the older community groups, they say.
There was this tradition, yes.
Yeah. Yes. The most insignificant, might be a book, might be whatever. I do this in the memory of my father.
We have to do this for our departed ones, because we will end up like them, and we want others to do this for us. That's why we have to teach our kids to do these things, because no one will do this to us. And we have to be careful here. Yeah. We won't have kids to do memorial services for us, and they don't know what a memorial service is. How are they going to do them for us? And that's sad, because we might need help.